And so I'm not used to wearing one of these, but I am glad to be here today. I know it's a different day for y'all. I've thought a lot about that, and you know, when you've had the same pastor for as long as y'all have had, that first Sunday, it's tough, and I know a lot of you are missing him. And when I first got the call, I am a friend of Sean and Jackie Foshee, and so if this don't go well, y'all be sure to call them, okay? And but no, they've been friends of mine for a long time, and they called me, and they told me your situation, and I was a little reluctant at first, I'll be honest with you. How do you follow a 20-year man? How you do that? And I knew I was in the state of Alabama, so I knew I was in a good place. And you know, they always say you don't want to be the coach after a legend leaves. And I thought about Bear Bryant back in the day. I said, who would want to be the coach after Bear Bryant leaves? And then I found out Gene Stallings was going to meet me. I said, man, this is working out good. That's just not so bad, man. I got Coach Stallings going to meet me. The things will be all right. And so, but I prayed about it, thought about it, gave it a day or two, and I heard a message recently. It was called The Sin of Doing Nothing. And you can do something, or you can do nothing, quite frankly. And a lot of people do nothing because they're afraid. A lot of reasons that people don't do that. Sometimes people are just lazy. They just don't want to do it. So tell you a little bit briefly about myself. I am from South Carolina originally. I was born in Augusta, Georgia. And I do live, or did live, where Jackie and Sean live now. That's where actually all of my family are. I'm the only lone wolf up in the foothills of the mountains in North Carolina. And I'm about an hour east of Asheville, if you've ever been to Asheville, and about 20 minutes west of Hickory, North Carolina, on I-40 there. So if you've ever traveled I-40, then you know pretty much where I'm at. So it's really hard to know in a first service like this, especially considering the situation, what I should do and bring. And I didn't know where your pastor left off in your Sunday school lesson, so I thought, hey, I'll just go a totally different direction today and just trust the Lord that maybe it'll be something for you. And I want to challenge you. You've got a resource. I was spent some time with Brother Stallings last night and just coming into the church here. I noticed y'all had a little pamphlet. This thing right here is gold. Okay, if you don't have one, get one. Now, when I saw it, I was like, ugh, because that's part of what I'm going to be talking about today. But I think I'll fill in some blanks. Sometimes you can open this up and you can just go, whoa, it's kind of overwhelming if you ain't careful. But what I'm going to try to do, and had already planned to do, is I'm going to give you some practical points. I'm not going to go through the history of how we got our Bible. I'm not going to do that today, although there is maybe a time and a place for that. What I simply want to do today is give you some practical reasons or some practical things. Every once in a while you'll be talking to somebody and we use this Bible, we use that Bible. They're all the same. They all got the same message. You ever heard that? That's a lie. That's a lie, brother. That's a lie out of the pit, brother. So before I get going, let's just go ahead and just have a quick word of prayer. I know we've already prayed, but let's just have a quick word of prayer and then we'll go forward. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be with these people. I ask that you'd be with them, that you bless them. I know their hearts are a little heavy this morning, and I ask that you would let them know everything's going to be all right. And I pray for the former pastor as God is moving in his life, and that you'd be with him, bless him. And Lord, just be with us during these few minutes that I have this morning, hopefully to make a difference. And that was my only purpose in being here this week, was to try to be a help, make a difference. And I pray that you'd give me the words to say during this time, and I'll give you the praise, the honor, and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let me get some C-betters on And years ago, there was a lady, she was cooking dinner. I know we got some cookers in here. Somebody offered to cook for me this morning, and I just don't eat when I'm preaching and speaking in the morning that I do that. So I don't have a big breakfast, but amen, I had a good one last night. I had a good dinner and at a little seafood place there, and Hilltop. So I'd been craving some crawfish tails. That was good, and some other things. But years ago, there was a lady cooking, and she cut for Thanksgiving or something. She cut the end of the ham off, and one of the kids looked at her and said, "Why you cut the end of the ham off?" And she said, "I don't know. My mom always did it, so I do it too." They said, "Well, let's call mom." So they called mom and they said, "Hey, we got a question. We're in the kitchen here and just cut the end of the ham off, and I saw you do it. Why do you cut the end of the ham off?" And she said, "Well, I don't know. I saw my mom do it all these years, and I just thought, well, I'll do it too." So finally they called grandma. They said, "Grandma, we got a question for you. We want to know why you cut the end of the ham off." She said, "Well, I cut the end of the ham off because my pan was too small." So everybody did it, but nobody knew why they did it. And the thing about a King James church, and I grew up in a King James church, but there were a lot of years as a kid, you just heard King James, King James, King James. But you really didn't, I didn't know why I was King James. There was a point where I realized, hey, why am I? Why am I doing this? Why am I not with another Bible? So I want to give you some practical things today. There was a time in my life that I actually, my faith was shaken in the King James. You know, you can go to these high education, higher learning places that's supposed to have all the answers, and they'll destroy your faith if you're not careful. I've heard teachers say, "Well, a better word for this would be," I said, "A better word? What do you mean a better word?" So my faith got a little rattled at some point in my life, but I want to give you some things. Now, first of all, in Genesis, I'm going to just quote a couple of verses here. In the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 1, the devil shows up as a serpent, and the very first thing he ever did when he showed up on this earth, he looked at Eve and he asked a question. He said, "Yea, hath God said." The very first words that he spoke when he showed up was he began to question the words of God. Now, Psalms 11:3 says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" I've talked to building contractors, and what I understand, and I've probably got some people that are in that line of work here, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but what I understand is that the foundation is the most important part of that building. You've gone in New York City and you've seen these massive holes in the ground that they're getting ready to put the foundation in. So if the foundation is not strong, then eventually that thing will begin to shift. It'll begin to crack. And eventually it'll crumble. It's coming down if the foundation is not solid. So the Bible is a solid rock of the foundation for which we base every belief that we have. And brother, if it's destroyed, you say, if it's destroyed, you know what we can do? Nothing. We're out of business if our foundation is destroyed. So Psalms 12:6, and it's got this on the front of this little pamphlet here. Be sure to get you one of these. Get you two for your friend that doesn't know better. It says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." And get my C-betters on. "Then thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." My understanding years ago in study was that there were seven revisions to come up with the King James Bible that we now carry. Isn't that interesting? That it said it's purified seven times. Now, Psalm 138:2. This is a big one. The Lord says, "For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." That's pretty powerful. You mean he magnifies his word above his name? Brother, that's important. That's powerful. So let's move along. So God thinks his word's pretty important. Then you got Matthew 4:4, and I'm just kind of laying the foundation for a couple of practical things I'm getting ready to show you here. The Bible says in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Let me ask you a question. What if you ain't got every word? I was looking on this pamphlet. I didn't know the exact number, but I saw it on this pamphlet here, which is kind of neat. The NIV, for example, which is called the New Inaccurate Version, is what we call it. 63,625 words are missing or changed. The Lord said, you're to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And they've messed with 63,000 of them, folks. That ain't the book that you need. That ain't going to get it done. Sometimes I like to look at people, and if we get in that conversation, I said, how many mistakes are you okay with in your Bible? Oh, my Bible don't have no mistakes. How many are you okay with? Well, I don't want any. That's okay. You remember that here in just a minute. Sometimes I look at them and say, how many missing verses are you all right with? Well, my Bible doesn't have any missing. Keep that thought in mind. So, let's go on a little further. Now, I mentioned a while ago that a lot of people say that, hey, all Bibles, well, they say the same thing. They got the same message, the same God, and the same salvation. And that's, of course, just a lie. But listen, here's a profound statement. Things that are different are not the same, okay? If they're different, they're not the same. So there has to be a final authority. There has to be one final authority, or you know what we got? We got a bunch of opinions. I like my Bible, and you like your Bible. There's no clear-cut winner. So, well, we just all just agree to disagree. You ever heard that before? So, here's another thing. You can't take two Bibles that say two different things and them both be right. It's impossible. I mean, totally different things, and you're going to see that in just a second. So, if one Bible is right, the other one has to be wrong. Now, if they're both wrong, we're out of business. Shut the lights, turn out the door, shut the lights off, lock the door, everybody go home. So let's do this first of all. Let's go, I was going to do this. I don't know if maybe I should do this or not. I might have some help. I don't know if I have time to do it or not. I brought a bunch of Bibles. I've got probably more. One of the most fearful things is to realize you're going to preach and know all your books are in boxes stored away. And that's what I was facing when Sean and Jackie called me. But I found some of my old Bibles. And for somebody that may help me read a verse, you may want to jump in and just say something. I don't know. It's just a hodgepodge of stuff. And you might just want to look and just see. Now, the New World Translation is, I think, the Jehovah's Witness Bible. So a lot of these people change the Bible to fit their beliefs instead of changing their beliefs to fit their Bible, okay? They change the words to make it believe and say what they want it to say. So I'm going to give you one of those, and I'm just going to pass these out at random. And even the New King James, all right, and you can just spread them out to anybody that might help us read in a minute if we call on somebody. The New King James is the closest, but quite honestly, it's deficient too. I don't just anybody take one, you pass them around. Or the first thing I want to talk about in the first verse, here's something you got to remember about your Bibles. All of these new Bibles, first of all, real quick, not going through the history, but your Bibles came from two lines of manuscripts. One line of manuscripts, the Jews believed it. It was known to be the truth. And then you had another line of manuscripts that was known to be false. And so I'm telling you today that my Bible is superior to every Bible you have in your hands right now. Hands down. Not even close. Not even no room for argument. You'll see that in just a second. If you have one of the new Bibles, turn to Acts 8:37. This is probably one of my favorite ones. In the book of Acts 8:37, this is the first time in the New Testament that a man is saved by grace. That's pretty important, wouldn't you say? So this is the Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and the Ethiopian eunuch's in a chariot, and Philip's running along beside him. He's reading the scriptures. He said, "Hey man, you understand what you're reading?" And the eunuch says, "How can I except somebody explain it to me?" Now, let me go ahead and find it in my real Bible here. This is always fun, man. Listen, if you got somebody that's got an NIV, it's almost comical when they do this. And it said, "And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?'" If you've got an NIV, would you read me verse 37? Anybody got an NIV? I know there's one floating up there somewhere. Anybody with an NIV? Do you see it in there? It's gone. It's missing. Sometimes I got it right, sometimes I got it wrong, but they all have some mistakes. Is yours missing or not? Missing. That's missing also. It looks like you got the Revised Standard Version. Okay? You see, they always came along and they said, "Hey, we're going to make these Bibles, they're easier to understand." Isn't that what you heard? That's a lie. How's it easier to understand when you take out the plan of salvation the very first time it's mentioned in the New Testament? I'd say that's pretty important. Who do you think would want the plan of salvation left out of a verse? You remember back in Genesis? How God said. So, they go from verse 36, and you'll notice in your Bibles it goes straight to verse 38. And in my Bible, it says, "And he commanded, and the chariot to stand still. And they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." Now, here's something else. They knew people would have a fit if their Bible had less verses in it. So they just go from verse 36 to verse 38. On top of that, they can't count. Don't a 37 come after 36? Absolutely. So they slide it past you, so maybe you won't notice it. Ain't that tricky? That's just like, ain't that like a devil? It's just like him. Now, let's go to another one real quick. 2 Samuel 21:19. 2 Samuel 21:19. This is also one of my favorites. Y'all all know this story. This is a familiar story. Matter of fact, if you've been saved a long time, I've been in church a long time, you heard this story when you were a kid. Amen? I'm going to read out of my Bible, and it says, "There was again a battle in the land in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jerahorgam, whatever his name is there, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam." Let me ask you a question. Is anybody looking at a Bible right now that says Elhanan slew Goliath? Anybody got one? Elhanan slew Goliath. Anybody got one that says that? Got one right there? Okay. That's a lie. He didn't slay Goliath. That's a bold-faced lie. Now, your King James translators knew it gave the brother's name. I believe it was over in 2 Chronicles. His name was Lemi or something like that. So that's the man that Elhanan killed. You ask an 8-year-old who killed Goliath, they say David. Right? Common knowledge. Now, people say, "Well, what's the big deal? Still got salvation in the book. What?" I mean, here's the big deal, people. Suppose you're reading that to your grandkid, and he looks at that verse, and he says, "Papa, I thought David killed Goliath." And you say, "Oh, son, don't worry about it. It's just a mistake in the Bible." That's a big deal, man. What are you telling him? Well, he's thinking, well, there's probably more mistakes in there too. What you're doing is you're undermining the authority of this book as being the final authority, and you're killing his chances of ever believing the truth. He's thinking, well, if it's got that mistake, it's got other mistakes too. So, it's a big deal. Let's go to another one real quick for time's sake. We're short on time. Mark 1:1. The book of Mark 1. Actually, we're going to go to 1:2. Let's just one verse there. I'm going to read my Bible here. And in Mark 1:1, this is very simple. Now, would anybody argue with me that Elhanan killing Goliath is a lie? Everybody knows that's a lie, right? That's one. Okay? Remember I asked a while ago, I look at somebody a lot of times and say, how many lies are you okay with in your Bible? Well, that's not even, no wiggle room for a misunderstanding. That's just a bold-faced lie. Now, here's another one. Verse 2. Mark chapter 1. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Now, you'll notice your King James put prophets in there. Plural. Two of them. At least two. How many of you got a Bible that say, thus saith the prophet Isaiah? Anybody got one? Now, the very first thing after it says, thus saith the prophet Isaiah, is it gives a quote from Malachi. That's a lie. Isaiah said no such thing. Malachi said it. So your King James translators had it right. When they use the word prophets, they give a quote from Malachi, and then they give a quote from Isaiah. So your King James translators has it right. Your new Bibles have it wrong. Okay? Lie number two. Listen, if somebody told me there's one in my, I wouldn't want one lie in my Bible, would you? Okay? There's two. Real simple. Let's go to another one. A little harder to find, but Daniel, the book of Daniel. And I know y'all got an odd Bible in front of you. The book of Daniel, chapter number 3. This is also one of my favorites. Boy, wait till you get a load of this. Daniel chapter 3. Verse number 25. 3:25. Give you a second here. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. Here we go. And the form of the fourth is like the Son, capital S, of God, singular and capital G. Are you looking at anything different than what I just said? Let me ask you a question. Growing up, have you ever heard preachers preach on going through the fire? And about these three Hebrew boys and how when you're in the midst of a fire, that God's with you? You ever heard messages like, wasn't that a comfort to your heart? Didn't that give God glory? Now, in your new Bibles, it says a lot of things. It says in one that it looks like a god, little g. In most of them, it'll say it looks like a son, not the definite article of the son, but a son, little s, of the gods, plural, with a little g on it. So, if you got another Bible and you're reading this, looks form of the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Well, who, the son, is it the son of Zeus or Thor, or who are we talking about? Can you see Jesus in those verses the way it's written? Absolutely not. Do you think he gets any glory out of the paraphrase you have in your lap right now? Absolutely not. And so, the Lord's with us in the fire, but you don't know it's even the Lord in the fire if you're reading another book. You can't get Jesus in that verse out of the new versions. And again, another trick of the devil. Are we having fun yet? These are practical things. If you want to write these down in your Bible sometime, you've got the exhaustive list right here. I mean, this is a good list. I don't think it has the Old Testament verses that I'm giving you. But it's got a good list of the New Testament. So let's go to Luke 2:33. We're running short on time here. Let me see if I can zip through the last several here. Luke 2:33. I'm going to go ahead and read it out of my Bible. Luke 2:33. And it says, "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." So this is Joseph, and this is his mother Mary, and they're marveling at Jesus as a young boy and things he's saying. Now, let me ask you a question. The New World Translation, whoever's got the Jehovah's Witness Bible, this is weird, man. This is a weird reading. The Jehovah's Witnesses Bible says, and its father and mother. Its, what do you mean its? What, you referring to Jesus as an it? Are you kidding me? First of all, Joseph was not his father. If Joseph is his father, we're dead and in our trespasses and sins and on our way to hell. He was just like us if Joseph was his father. Now, you know who his father was. So when you got a Bible that reads his father and his mother, one of them says his parents, when you got a Bible that's saying that, then you're messing around with the deity of God. It's a lie. Starting to add up some lies, aren't we? Now, if you're ever talking, let me tell you what a lot of times will happen. If you ever get in this conversation with somebody and you really mean well, you're just not arguing for the sake of arguing, you're really trying to help them, I'm going to tell you what happens a lot of times when you start doing this. Well, I don't want to discuss it no more. They walk away. You know why? They know they're whooped. They know it. They don't have nothing to answer. They don't have a comeback. So let's go to another one, John 14:2. Oh, I like this one a lot. John 14:2. And by the way, keep in mind, some of these Bibles have some things right, but they got other things wrong. But the truth is, they got a lot of things wrong in every one of them. Okay? So every verse doesn't apply to every Bible as far as mistakes, but they all have many mistakes. I love this one right here. "In my Father's house are many mansions." Verse number 2. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you." Do you know if you got a new Bible, you don't get a mansion? You know what you're going to get? You're going to get a room. I can get a room down at the Motel 6, and they'll leave the light on for me. I don't want no room. Or what's another word somebody has? A dwelling place, okay? I know what it is. Abode. You're going to get an abode. Ain't y'all excited? An abode is a place to live, but it ain't a word. Didn't that clear up the Bible? Didn't that make it plainer like they always say? Absolutely not. So you get an abode here. You get a dwelling place. Somebody else gets a dwelling place, and the rest of us get a room. Homes. All right. Call your local real estate agent. He'll pick you out a plot or something, okay? You don't get a mansion if you don't have a King James Bible. You know what? I want a mansion. I'll stick with this one. Let's go to another one real quick. We're short on time. 2 Corinthians 2:17. 2 Corinthians 2:17. I'm trying to stay on y'all's schedule best I can. 2 Corinthians 2:17. It's almost comical what they do, and they pass it off, and they just act all serious like they've got something, and what they've got is garbage. It's perversion of the real thing. It's a fake. It's a phony. 2:17, 2 Corinthians. "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God." Oh boy. I bet y'all got some interesting readings out there, don't you? Some of your Bibles say, for we are not as many which peddle the Word of God. Now, let me ask you a question. Is the word corrupt and the word peddle even close to being the same? No. Nowhere near. When you peddle, somebody beats on your door. You want to buy some soap? You want to buy a vacuum cleaner? You want to? Okay, that's peddling. The reason they changed it from corrupt to peddle is corrupting was what they were doing. Let's take your mind off of it altogether. Isn't that interesting, man? And listen, I'm scratching the surface, folks. Just this much. But these are practical verses that I show people when they say, well, my Bible's as good as your Bible. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. So, some of you have a Bible. Somebody's got a Bible out there that says, we are not like those hucksters. you got the huckster Bible, okay? Hucksters? You got a huckster Bible too. Congratulations. We are not like those hucksters. Isn't that weird? Ain't the new Bible supposed to be easier to read and understand? You just tell somebody, you call them a huckster, I can kind of get an idea of what they're talking about. That's not even nowhere close to what the verse actually says. Let's get a couple more here. Mark 9:44. Mark chapter 9 and verse 44. I'm going to hit these real quick. Let's see. Mark chapter number 9 and verse 44. He's talking about hell here. And it says, verse 46, it says, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Now, I don't have time to break that verse down, elaborate on it. Let me ask you a question. Does anybody have a Bible out there with that verse in it? You got a new King James, looks like. Oh, well, there you go. Well, that's the New King James. Okay, the New King James is very, it doesn't have a lot of the other mistakes, but it still has some. It still has some. All you other people with Bibles, does your Bible even have that verse there? It's gone. How about that? Is it missing in that one? Missing, okay. Now, anybody remember Brother Lester Roloff? Okay, I grew up listening to Lester Roloff preach. And Lester Roloff gave an illustration years ago. He said, suppose a fellow was to show up at your door, hear a knock at the door, you open it up, there's a fellow standing there with a big machete. And you look at him and you say, what you got on your mind there, bud? He says, I'm here to see your mama. He said, you are? He said, what you got in mind? He said, well, I'm going to cut off her right foot. I'm going to cut off her left hand. Might cut off her nose, maybe one of her ears. Now, what would you do? Well, you'd grab the nearest 12 gauge. You need a 12-barrel double gauge for that, amen? You'd grab the nearest thing you could get your hands on, or whatever you got in your hands. And you do your best to beat him out into the yard and out of your property. Okay? You defend him. You defend your mother. The devil's done no less than this to our Bible. Hath God said? Yeah, he said it. He said it, and I believe it. And don't give me this other stuff. If you're dealing with somebody and you give them as many examples as I've given you, and they still choose to stay with that Bible that they're using, they're just not an honest person. I don't know how else to say it. The sad part is you've got some preachers that are well known. I think, quite frankly, a lot of people in the Southern Baptist Convention use an NIV. I don't know how you can preach for years and years and years and not know. I don't understand that. I don't understand it. But, all right, we're going to hit two more real quick. Acts 1:3, and we'll put the landing gear down. Book of Acts, chapter number 1. Can't get my pages to turn here. And verse number 3. Is that right? Okay. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. I'm going to read that one more time. To whom he also showed himself, talking about the Lord, showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. I looked up the word infallible, and it says incapable of making mistakes or being wrong. Jesus showed him so much about himself that he was absolutely incapable. He gave him so much proof, he was absolutely incapable of making a mistake or being wrong. Now, you know what your Bibles say? I think most of them, if I remember right. Convincing. Well, yeah, he gave us some stuff. I probably would believe it. It's convincing, yeah. You see the difference? There's a difference there, brother. Infallible, incapable of being wrong. The other way, I'm kind of convinced, I guess so. See the difference there? Huge difference. Last one, real quick. 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. This is a very good one as well. Here's what my Bible says. Here's what the real Bible says. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let me read that first word again. Study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Anybody else got that word in their Bible at all? Anybody? No. The King James Bible is the only Bible that tells you to study this book. Everything else, I don't know what all, I can't remember all the phraseology they used. Oh, here's some. Do your best. Somebody got to do your best? It don't say do your best, it says to study. Amen? They're not the same. Do your utmost. Okay, well, how about study then, right? Work hard. A lot of y'all worked hard this week. That don't mean you studied your Bible. Try hard. Somebody got try hard out there. You got the try hard Bible, okay. Lucky you, man. You've had several of these today. Right there I've shown you, 10, 11 examples. Can I be honest with you? There's thousands. Thousands. I'll be here till this time next Sunday trying to get through them all. Things that are different are not the same. They're not the same, people. This is the real book. Everything else out there is a counterfeit. It's false. It's a trick of the devil. The devil said, yay. Looked at Eve and said, hath God said? Got in a little conversation with her. And of course, she's back and forth with him, and they begin to add and take away words. But that's been the devil's trick from his very first time here on earth, is to question his book. And folks, I just say we stay with the old book, stick with the old book. And this is the book that'll judge people at the judgment, right here. We won't get into why this is the book, God had this translated at a time in history when the English language was at its apex. Like Shakespeare, remember that? They don't change Shakespeare, do they? People would have a cow if you started, putting ghetto language in Shakespeare or something, making it common day, right? They'd go crazy. But they don't mind doing it to your Bible. And that just shows you the devil at work. So we got the right one. I challenge you to get you one of these little tracts and mark it. You'll have some favorites in here yourself. And just, again, we go back to the thing at the beginning where, why you cut the end of the ham off? I don't know. My mom did it. Why'd you do it? Well, my mom did it. It's not enough that we do it and have the King James, but I think we ought to go a step further in knowing why what we have is, in fact, the final authority of everything out there. So God bless you, church, and I guess you take a break, and we'll do it again here in just a few minutes.